Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, they put up over 40 points. From your perspective, what went wrong yesterday on the defensive side of the ball that kind of let things snowball the way that they did?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things, right? I mean, we showed everybody the way to give up what we gave up. And when you look at it, you know, we don't start the game off well in the run game. We do get them into third down. We can't get off the field on third down. Okay, they get to the red zone. Let's get a red zone stop, force a field goal, regroup. And they were 5 of 6, you know, and I think it was 11 of 15 on third down with one fourth down conversion. You know, so, I mean, the recipe to lose a football game is what we did yesterday. And it starts with me, first and foremost, what I did yesterday. And we just got to learn from it, move on, and you know, not let it happen again. Let it be a learning lesson. Failure, I've said it before, failure is the best teacher. Success is, at times, an awful teacher.
If you were to point to one thing, was it more effort-based breakdowns, or do you think lack of preparation, or what do you think it was in terms of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So to me, when you look at it and you really watch the tape, and I used this word earlier today, it's a conglomeration, and I'm including myself, of people not doing their jobs at a high level. You know, when you have that, when there's a lot of people not doing their jobs at a high level, you're not going to be on the same page. You're not going to be a unit. You're not going to be a cohesive unit. And, you know, we always talk about it starts individually with a high level of play, high level of expectation, because in the end, you don't want to let your brothers down. Not that anybody was trying to let their brothers down, but if we can all get in that mode, we'll be in a lot better shape. And it starts with me.
How can you get more out of Ed Oliver this season?
That's a great question. You know, we talk to our guys all the time about making sure that we talk to our guys about this all the time. If you do your job at a high level, whatever that job is, every call's got a different, you know, line item for what your job is. Some the same. If you do your job at a high level and you don't chase anything, and not saying he does, but when the ball shows up, you got to be able to make a play. And, you know, I go back to the times even when I was coaching the safeties here, you know, you get really impatient. The ball's not showing up. You just keep doing your job at a high level and the ball will show up. You know, so that's the message to all our guys all the time. And if Ed just does his job at a high level, when the ball shows up, make a play, that'll be productive football. And you never know when that's coming out. You never know when that's coming.
On Ed, you look at his season last year, and according to PFF, he had 72 pressures. He's got 25 through 12 games or 11 games this year.
Yep.
Where is the missing piece as a pass rusher where you kind of felt like some of that was unlocked last year that maybe hasn't shown up?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, I watched all the tape last year. Statistically, I'm not paying attention to statistics and, you know, all those things. The biggest statistic for us is a letter. But, you know, I think the thing with Ed is people, you know, players in this league run into ebbs and flows in this league. And I think, you know, The best thing that I've learned with high-level players is just keeping it simple. Just trying to keep it simple, trying to get back to a base of simplicity to where, you know, there's not a lot of thinking. And we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to try to make things as simple as we possibly can for all our guys so we can compete at a high level.
And then at Dwayne Carter coming back, it's probably got to be tough for a rookie. You know, you're going through your season, you get into a routine, then you miss a period of time, then to get thrown back out there. A, how did you feel like he played? And do you think he was like ready to get thrown back in a big spot against that team? And how do you feel like he played? I don't want to lead you down any road.
So I'll start with your second question. The last 2 weeks, we've really gone through a lot of, you know, process through a process with him of, you know, making sure we felt he was comfortable to go in and play. And anytime a player comes back from an extended period of time off, you know, there's going to be some rust to knock off, no matter when you believe they are ready. So we felt as an organization that he was ready to get back in there. And then I would say, as far as his play, again, just like I said with Milano, there's some rust to knock off. There's some fundamentals, some technique. We got to get back to the drawing board and just make sure that you know, we can get him back to where he was before that injury.
Hey, Bobby, there's a lot made yesterday about the lack of stats, kind of to your point about whether stats matter with quarterback hits and pressures and that kind of thing. And rewatching it, you know, it's kind of the old, it's never as bad as it looks on film. You know, it seemed like you guys did a better job than it felt like getting pressure. But to the point about talking about Ed Oliver, Greg Rousseau has been fantastic in pressure this year. How concerning is it that there hasn't been another option that's developed, whether someone else on the front four or maybe a blitz is getting home? Not that it hasn't happened at all, but more consistent, another option getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. You know, I think you said the word consistency, and we got to find that consistency both in availability and our level of play. And we're going to continue to do that. The guys are working hard. I mean, guys that are coming back from injury, we just talked about Dwayne, guys that missed time, all those type of things. And the bottom line is this, we got to get them in a one dimensional game to do those things, if that makes sense. That's our job. That's our job, is to get them in a one-dimensional game. And it starts with the run game. Got to be able to take the run game. And yesterday you saw the boot and play action game. So you got to be able as a defense to take that off them to earn the right to rush.
To your credit, you haven't had many games like that this year. But as the guy who's now in the seat, as the coordinator, when there's a game like that, how different is the mental process today in the 24-hour rule in that period, getting past that and moving forward?
Yeah.
Now that it all falls on you for this side of the ball.
That's right. So, you know, I've been in this league, I don't even know, I think I'm 13 years. And the one thing I've learned is a consistent approach. And, you know, the approach after every loss is, let's learn on why we got the results we got. And, you know, I think, like I said before, that's a better teacher than anything. You know, you kind of lose when you get, you know, we went on a pretty good run there, but, you know, human nature is to kind of lose, you know, I don't want to say the importance, but just the potentially to lose some of the stressor points within the game. And I said it earlier, you know, we got them in 15 third downs and they were 11 for 15. That is not a recipe for success. I think they were 3.3 yards per rush, but they ran the ball, 49 times or something like that? Like, we keep giving them chances to line back up. It's not going to end in a good way. So, you know, and then the other stat I didn't mention was takeaways. You know, so we line all those up. We take a look at it. We see where it's at. We make the improvements, and we move on, because this league isn't waiting for you. This league isn't waiting for you. The next team's getting ready to try to beat you. So we got to learn from it. We got to be urgent. We got to move on and understand the areas individually that we got to improve, and then together as a unit.
Knowing how much pride and how much you've got invested in this unit and how much pride the unit has in playing up to its standard, how much do you think, what is your expectation is in regards to response, you know, coming off something like that?
Don't flinch. Don't flinch. We didn't play well enough. We did. You know, I think the guys would tell you the biggest thing, you know, for us is, you know, our offense was scoring and getting us back on the field, and we couldn't get a stop. And it starts with me first and foremost. And then, you know, I think that's very frustrating from a team perspective. You know, so our response, I expect our guys' response to be exactly what we all think it is. And, you know, they know what our standard is here in Buffalo. We need to live up to that standard. And at times you're going to hit bumps in the road. We all hit bumps in the road. And you can make it bigger than it is, or you can look at it and say what it is and address those issues. And everybody's on the same page and making sure that we're working to improve there and grow.
Not sure how much you've scouted on the Lions, but they're the highest scoring offense in the league right now. And the Bills are second, but how much, I'm not sure if that helps, But how much does it help in some cases that they represent or have some of this very same dynamics on offense as the Rams do? So you get a chance to prove yourself against what is a similarly very high-powered offense next week.
I have not watched a ton. I've watched some. I'm about to dive into that. I think we've played, what is it? This will be our fifth game, in a sense, against that style of offense. So, you know, it obviously provides a little comfortability in the fact that, you can anticipate some of the things, but everybody's a little bit different. Everybody's a little bit different. So what we got to worry about is ourselves. We got to worry about ourselves and have a high awareness of who we're going against, how they like to play, how they like to attack. And we got to worry about our jobs, because that's what we've got to do a great job of, is our jobs. And we got to compete at a high level.
Hey, Bobby, I know you said you're just diving into Lions stuff, but Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are just known for being really talented running backs, putting them together on the field at the same time and at different points throughout the game. How do you, as a rushing defense, get ready to prepare for going up against a two-headed attack at running back?
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, we just got to get back to our basics, get back to our fundamentals, what our jobs are within each defense. And there's a lot of good running backs in this league. I know these two we're about to go against I think a lot of people consider them the best duo in the National Football League, and they're certainly going to be a challenge. But, I think our guys are up to the challenge. I believe our guys are up to the challenge, and they're ready to respond. So, again, going up against a really good opponent overall, they're obviously, I think John just said it, the highest scoring offense in the NFL. We're going to have our hands full, but that's what the NFL is. And, our guys will be ready, for this week. They'll prepare and we'll be ready to go.
As a defense, you guys have been so good at forcing turnovers throughout the season, doing it in every single game up until this last game against the Rams. How do you get back? Sorry, takeaways. How do you get back to forcing that in this game against Lions?
Yeah, I think we just, it's intention. It's intention and what we're about. And, I think there becomes a moment in games where you feel like, I think as a player, as a coach, as a play caller, and I think Sean would say, where you feel like you have a pretty good handle and you're in control of the game. And, I think what you saw yesterday was we weren't in control of the game. And, and I think really when it comes down to it, you can kind of lose sight of those things, if that makes sense, once you get out of whack there. So I think we just need to fall back in line to what we know works for us and what the standard is here in Buffalo. And that's the intention of taking the ball away.
Falling back into who you are as a defense, is that a reminder from you as the defensive coordinator? Is that getting together as a group? How does that happen when it's like, hey, we got to get back to the basics? Where does that start for you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. A long time ago, there's a great coach in the league that, was constantly talking about reteaching. And there's moments throughout the season where there's reteaching moments. You don't want to lose sight of things as a coach, but things might kind of slip depending on the week, depending on where the player's at, all those type of things. And there's an aha moment where you got to come back and you got to reteach and you got to get back to the basics. And, I think, like you talked about takeaways, that's an everyday constant. We talk about when you talk about block destruction, when you talk about tackling, those are everyday things, but there might be a little detail here that you need to revisit, you need to reteach. And, that can be anywhere. That can be in a group setting, that can be in an individual one-on-one meeting, that can be in a position group meeting.
The angles of the safeties that they're taking in this game, I thought, how can they improve on their angles on the plays? Because I thought, especially on that touchdown where Rasul Douglas was hit by Taylor Rapp in the end zone, Taylor Rapp actually blasted Rasul Douglas on that play. I was wondering, shouldn't Rapp should have been coming up in front of the receiver instead of being behind Rasul Douglas on that play?
Yeah, he definitely could have taken a better angle, and it starts with his eyes. You got to know where you're going, and it starts with your eyes.
Okay. But meaning you got to look and see it and then go to it?
That's right.
Yeah, he seems to be having a lot of, it seems like he just goes and, man, just bam, you know, just hits everybody.
Yeah, Taylor's doing a great job for us. Obviously, every player has plays they want back, you know, so he's tackling really well right now. And if it wasn't for Taylor Rapp, you know, getting ball carriers down in the open field yesterday, you know, we could have been in worse shape.
On running, what was it with the blocking scheme of the Rams that seemed to cause so much trouble where they were able to move our defensive line off the ball and open up holes for their for the running backs? It looked like they were really running there earlier in the game. What causes that type of situation? Is it gap integrity or something?
Yeah,
of that
I nature? Mean, it, to us, George, it's more about us and how we're attacking the run game, not only from the defensive line, but to the second level of our defense and the third level. So, you know, it's all tied in together. It's all tied in together, and we've got to do a better job. And, you know, the guys know that, and, you know, they'll continue to work this week on doing a better job.
I just wanted to ask you about Christian. Just, you know, he had a couple bright spots in yesterday's, you know, overall tough team performance defensively, but just where he is now and, you know, knowing the expectations were so high with him, but the evolution of his game to being where it is now, just what has impressed you the most and where do you kind of assess where Christian is right now?
Yeah, I think people lose sight of, you know, the intelligence of a football player at this level and how much that comes into things. And, you know, I would say his football IQ is extremely, extremely high. And the second thing I'd say is, you know, his work ethic. He wants to be great. He works in that manner. He's always wanted to do extra. And he's a joy to coach.
And then just one last one for me, Bobby, just this week, I know you haven't gotten to practice yet. You're just diving into the film for Detroit, but what does the proper response from your guys on defense look like? If you can envision what that looks like to kind of put last game kind of in the rearview mirror and turn their attention to the bigger goals you guys have for this season.
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, the response and what we're looking for, it's really, and this is, you know, call this response that I'm about to give you whatever you want, but our guys know what it looks like. Our guys know what it's supposed to look like. I showed them one clip today. I won't say what it was, but, you know, I simply said, guys, that's not us. That's not us. And they know it's not us. And you know, you try to paint that picture of what it should look like and what it doesn't look like. And, you know, we have a philosophy and, you know, we talk about bringing our philosophy to life, and that's the expectation. And the expectation of the response is to get us back on track, and we're all professionals here, and that's what we need to do.
Here, this question might sound a little bit similar, but after the game yesterday, Sean said that defending the run starts with an attitude. How do you effectively coach an attitude?
We talk about it every day, Jay. We talk about when attitude is part of your mindset, right? You go into a game with a mindset, and part of our job as coaches and also part of the player's job is to make sure your mindset is where it needs to be. And, you know, what Sean's talking about is part of that mindset. And, you know, in any sport, it's an attitude you won't be denied, you know. And the thing in this league is that everybody isn't going to be perfect all the time. But like I said earlier, we collectively have to have the mindset and attitude that Sean's talking about, that we're not going to be denied. And we know what that mindset's supposed to be, and I'll keep it that between us and the players. But other players can use other players to pick themselves up, if that makes sense. So, again, just a reset, regroup, no panic, and go attack this week of practice. You know, and include that mindset, daily mindset, in what we're trying to attack.
Probably the two toughest performances for the defense this season have been Baltimore and then yesterday.
Absolutely.
Do you, and I know you just sort of touched on it there a little bit, but you know, that mindset, that attitude, whatever word you want to use to describe it, you know, is going to be there over the next month or two, particularly when you get to the postseason. And I guess just how do you make sure that it's there consistently in the biggest
way? That's a great question, Jay, because I think if anybody gave you an answer that this is exactly how it is, you know, it's different because every room in this league is different. The age of the room, if you're talking about the defensive unit, is different in every. So, you know, clearly I have to do a good job of helping those guys set that mindset and finding different ways for different individuals, right? Because everybody is a little different in that room and I'm up there in front of the whole group. So maybe, you know, chit-chatting with this player or helping them on the side set that mindset and that attitude. You know what I mean? And it's a standard in practice now. It's a standard in practice. And we got to uphold that. And I think, Jay, it's an organic thing, if that makes sense. You got to know where you're at the time and where you need to get to. And maybe you're there, maybe you're not there, and you need to figure out how to get there. So every week is constantly evolving. And that's the NFL. That's the NFL, and that's the parity in the NFL.
Hey, Bobby, I know you've talked a lot about the game, obviously, but I was curious what specifically stood out to you about what wasn't working on third down?
What wasn't working on third down?
On third down, third just down. Like in general, yeah.
Oh, shoot. The list is long now. It was one of those days. We always talk about rush and coverage working together, and that didn't come to fruition yesterday, and it wasn't on the rushers, and it wasn't always on the coverage. And it was the perfect storm of us not working together as far as rushing coverage and a lot of little different things in there that are why we got the result we got.
And then one last question for me, just not about the game at all. Micah Hyde is back. We haven't gotten to talk to you about that. What was your reaction to hearing the news and what's it like having him back in the building?
I mean, it was great. You know, I mean, we... You know, we spent a lot of time together. I'm sure he would say too much time together. And it's great. You know, I'm sure he'll forever go down as one of the great Bills and, you know, really help turn this thing around when we first got here. And it's a huge part of this, the history of this organization. And it's great to have him back. He's a great person. We love his family. He's definitely an asset to this organization.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.